3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Good morning. It's good to be in your midst, and what a beautiful, crisp morning we have, those that enjoy the cold. This morning, I want to focus in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. It's a prayer from the prophet. In the previous two chapters, we have gone through those, and we find him that he's down in the valley, and he's wrestling with the will of God. And he's wrestling with God because of the evil and the wickedness in Judah that isn't getting punished. And he's asking, how can a just God use a wicked nation like Babylon to punish his chosen people? And Habakkuk, he wanted to know, just like when you and I look around in our communities, in our society, when we look around in the world today, we wonder why God allows all this wickedness to continue on. And as we get into the second chapter, he has stationed himself as a watchman to look at the nations, and he's waiting for God to reply. And as we get to chapter 3, he is seeing God's glory, and he has become like a deer springing confidently on the high places. And yet his circumstances haven't changed. And what he's seeing is that he's walking by faith and not by sight. He's living by promises, not explanations. And he's trusting God despite the circumstances that he is seeing. Habakkuk chapter 3. It's a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Sigonoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. And it's the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One on Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand. And there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. And he looked and startled the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills they bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea, that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. You divided the earth with rivers, and the mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by, and the deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of the arrows they went, and at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. And you went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. You thrust through with his own arrows the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. And when I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit may be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. May God bless the reading of His Word. When you look at the prophet Habakkuk, you and I, we talk to God about our afflictions, about our difficulties. And then we continue to pray and to meditate on His Word to find direction and guidance. And as we go through life, we will experience fear and trembling. And at the same time, we're going to be in awe of how God continually reveals Himself to each one of us. And it is the same with the spiritual discipline that can take us there when we pray, when we trust, and when you and I have faith. Habakkuk prayed and he waited for God to respond in the first two verses. He pondered God's ways from verses 3 to 15. And then he affirmed God's will in verses 16 and 19. But don't you and I do the same thing in our lives? We pray and we wait. And then we receive an answer one way or another from our holy God. And the answer may not be what you're hoping for. Or on the other hand, it was very clear, and we ponder why God would answer the way He does. And lastly, we accept the answer and affirm that this is why God answered the way that He did. And it also confirmed in our lives by the peace and the contentment that you and I can have. But as Habakkuk, he begins to pray, what do we notice? He's not arguing with God. He's not questioning God, but he's praising and worshiping God. Look what he says in verse 2. He says, Lord, I have heard your speech. I have heard the report about you, and I was afraid. He says, Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. And Habakkuk has heard all of the mighty things and the miracles that the Lord has done. Things like Moses and the burning bush, the crossing of the Red Sea, and making water come out of a rock, etc. And the message of God's great acts and how God communicated with Moses and then leading the Israelites out of the wilderness. And Habakkuk had also heard the Lord speak in the previous chapter when he made it very clear where to write it or write down those visions. And the Lord had told him how to write it and where to write it. And then he said, and to make it clear. And Habakkuk prayed because he was overwhelmed by God's splendor. He had seen a vision of the greatness of God. And this vision left him weak and helpless. When we hear the word vision, many times we're drawn to the things of, or the term 2020 vision. Right? It's often we say that in hindsight. And what that means is that when we look back to a certain event or an incident in our lives, many times we can clearly see why it happened and what led to that incident, or what other choices we may have had, or what may have led to a different result. And we have a better understanding of that particular circumstance when we look back on it, and when we were actually right in the middle of it. And our vision of the past is often better than the vision of the present. And the prophet Habakkuk, he learned that firsthand what 2020 vision was all about. And in our text, he looks back with that 2020 vision. and seeing the past clearly enables him to look ahead with faith. His fear is turned to faith. His worry is transformed into worship. And his terror becomes trust. His hang-ups are resolved with hope. And his anguish, it melts into adoration. When you look at verse 2, he prayed to the Lord and he said, I have heard of your speech and I stand in awe of your deeds. Habakkuk has heard of all the things that the Lord has done in the past. And everything that Habakkuk has heard causes him to stand in awe of those great works. And when he ponders the things that God has done, he stands amazed. He gives God honor. And he worships God's name. And then he expresses two things. He prays that God would do great things again in his time. And at those things that he's waiting for, that they would happen. You know, when I think of what Habakkuk said, I think of a few things. For those don't like snore, not going to like me this morning. Years ago, I talked to Dennis Reimer's dad, and he said back in the 60s, I think it was, there was snow as high as the power lines. I wonder what that would be like again. But I also think of being with the people when God parted the Red Sea, the experience that they went through, or the feeding of the 5,000. What those people experienced. Knowing that there was so little food and they were all fed. But Habakkuk, he says, deliver your people by performing the same kinds of signs and wonders that you performed when you delivered your people from Egypt. And Habakkuk, he prays that God would do these great works soon. Just like he had already promised. And then he says in verse 2, in your wrath, Lord, remember mercy. That God would be compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love. And we see how he reflects back to the past on God's great and mighty works. And he ponders how God's wrath and mercy came together when he delivered his people from the land of Egypt. And he recalls the awesome deeds the Lord had performed in bringing his people through Egypt, through the wilderness, and into the promised land. And he looked back at all those things, and it gave him confidence that God could deliver his people from Babylon. Verses 3 to 5, Habakkuk, he says that God came from Taman and Mount Paran. This is a place where he revealed his covenant and law to them at Mount Sinai, according to Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2. And there are areas between Mount Sinai and the Dead Sea through which the Israelites passed through on their way to the land of Canaan. And it was in this area where God performed many wonders. And just as God displayed his glory and his mighty works to these people long ago, God could again display all those things to Habakkuk and the people of Judah. And Habakkuk says that God's glory, it covers the heavens and praise fills the earth. He says his splendor is like the sunrise. The rays flash from his hand where his power is hidden. And he compares God's glory with the brilliance of light rays coming from the sun. And as the sky is first tinted in the early rays of the hidden sun, it doesn't take long and the whole earth is lit up as the sun appears over the horizon. And finally, everything is flooded with brilliant and this glorious light. So is God's glory. This is the glory of God, which is displayed in His great and marvelous acts of deliverance. The glory of God, which covers the heavens and whose praise fills the whole earth. Now, when you think of all those things, words can't describe His glory. And when Habakkuk looks back with that 2020 vision, he sees God's glory. And the Lord isn't likely to give us a vision today such as Habakkuk saw. But because it is recorded in His Word, we can ponder it and we can allow the Holy Spirit to teach us from it. And God, He reveals His greatness in creation, in Scripture, and in history. And if we have eyes to see, we can behold His glory. And Habakkuk, he acknowledges the power of God. And God's power is seen in nature and is evident throughout the history of His people. Verses 6 to 11, it says, or it talks about to measure, it means to survey. It means that you're evaluating or you're calculating or you're examining. You're overlooking things or over to what it's going to take to accomplish what you want to do. And that's what God was doing. It's a beginning step of action as God was surveying the situation and He's estimating how much power it would take to execute His wrath on the nations. And it says that the mountains saw you and trembled. It's like creation is in turmoil as they see God using His power and He's doing His work. It says He looked and He startled the nation. And what Habakkuk is doing is that he's using this dynamic poetic imagery to describe Israel's march through the wilderness as they follow the Lord to the promised land. And the nations, they were worried, and they were anxious, and they were afraid. And they were trembling in the plague and the pestilences that were all around them. And God had revealed His power when He shook the earth at Sinai before He delivered His law to Israel. And the nations that were between Egypt and Canaan were Cushan and Midian, and it says they were afraid. And God's power had delivered His people in the past. And as that news quickly spread throughout the nations, the people wondered what would happen to them when Israel arrived on scene. And as they looked, they knew what the Lord had done. The Lord God had brought His people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And He revealed His power at Mount Sinai. And He showed His people the power of His works by giving them the lands of other nations. And His power was even revealed when He made the sun and the moon stand still. Just like He did in Egypt, God, He can strike down His enemies with plagues or pestilence or whatever He wants to. His very presence, it causes the earth to shake. But a simple glance at the nations, God, He causes them to leap in terror. It says they will hear reports of you and will tremble and be in anguish of you. Yet God had demonstrated His mighty power to His people before, and He caused those nations to tremble. And yet when Habakkuk looks back, he sees God's power. And he's convinced that God can do it again. That the Lord is all-powerful, all-loving. And His grace and glory are coupled with might and with majesty. And as we look at verses 12 to 15, and finally Habakkuk, he acknowledges the judgment of God. And God is not going to tiptoe through the land. He's going to stride through the earth like a thundering giant, like a victorious rider or a warrior riding forth with his horses and chariots. And those who oppose God will experience the divine warrior in wrath as he moves through the earth. And they will be surprised at their defeat when they themselves were expecting victory. And God's people, they will know the same warrior as the gracious Savior and Deliverer. Because God is coming to rescue His people. And Habakkuk, he sees the Lord coming again to crush wickedness and deliver His faithful people from their oppression. And the Babylonians, they will be sentenced to God's woe. Their nation is doomed for destruction. Just as they had shamed the people of other nations, so the Babylonians, they will be humiliated for all people to see. And their empire will be broken down to its very foundations. And there's nothing of value that will remain. And God's people, they will be declared righteous, and they'll be set apart for a special honor. And yet when Habakkuk looks back and he sees God's judgment on his enemies, he knows that God will administer His judgment again. And this time it's going to be on these Babylonians. And his vision is clearly sees the great and the marvelous deeds that God has done in the past. And then God will do it again. He's going to perform this miraculous deliverance. God will remember His compassion in the midst of His justice and wrath. And He's going to display His glory and power when He comes to bring judgment on the Babylonians. Then Habakkuk, he describes his God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of glory who reveals His glory in creation and in history. And when we read of all the things that God did, that is what lifted Habakkuk to the mountaintop. And his understanding of the greatness of God. And as we continue in the last three verses, Habakkuk's heart is pounding. His lips quiver. And his legs tremble. And Habakkuk, he is about to collapse from this amazing encounter with God. And he felt as though his bones were going to decay. But in his weakened state, his confidence and hope, they were renewed. But what about us? What do we see when we look back at what God has done in the past? How have we experienced God's deliverance? Or seen God's glory? Or felt God's power? Or received God's mercy? Now I think of Job, how he lost everything. And Job was still able to say, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And later Job professed his faith and said, "I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end I will see God." So I think of Paul, how he pleaded three times with the Lord to take away his thorn in the flesh which was tormenting him. And in the same way, after God had assured Paul of his all-sufficient grace, Paul, he declared, "I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." And if Habakkuk had depended on his feelings, he would never have made this great confession of faith. And if Habakkuk looked ahead and he saw a nation heading for destruction, it frightened him. But when he looked within and he saw himself trembling with fear, and when he looked around, he saw everything that was about to fall apart. But when he looked up by faith, he saw God and all his fears, they vanished. To walk by faith means to focus and trust on the greatness and the glory of our God. In Habakkuk, he finds this peace despite all things that he went through. And he prayed that God's work would keep going. And when you know that God is working in your life, you can afford to wait and to let him have his way with you. As we go through life, no matter what we see, no matter how we feel, but we must depend on God's promises and not allow ourselves to be discouraged and lose faith. We need to patiently trust and wait on the Lord. Habakkuk knows that God will deliver his people. He saw the power and the glory of God in his past. And that same power and glory is coming, and it's going to bring promised judgment on Judah's enemies. And it's only by God's grace that Habakkuk is able to wait for God to do his work. And so he does. And he waits patiently. And he doesn't tremble in fear, but he calmly waits for God. And he also waits despite of the what ifs. Or even if. Verse 17, "Even if there are no figs, no grapes, no olives, no crops at all, no sheep or cattle, in spite of all that," Habakkuk says, "I will wait." He outlines even the worst possible scenario. But even in the midst of that absolute ruin and horrible famine, Habakkuk realizes that inner peace It doesn't depend on outward circumstances. His faith recognizes that peace comes from an unshakable relationship with his Lord. And the answer to Habakkuk's burdensome questions is faith. Faith is a victory that conquers the world. And at the end, we see how Habakkuk is waiting joyfully. And he says that I will rejoice in the Lord and be joyful. He will rejoice in God even when every instinct in his body is crying out in distress. Even in the darkness of doubt and despair, Habakkuk's faith allows him to compose a song of praise. And then we see in verse 19 how God enables him to be strong and sure. And he makes his feet like the feet of a deer. It enables him to go into the heights, and God gives him strength and raises him up to the heights of the mountains from where his help comes from. But as we close, Habakkuk, he gives us insight. He gives us insight for what to do when God's ways just don't seem to make any sense. And even though there may be no final solution or to the problem of pain and evil, and we may never understand God's purpose or plan, but when we are overcome by obstacles, when you and I wrestle with the difficulties of life's unanswered questions, when we're filled with despair and God seems silent, faith kneels in prayer. And we ask God to reveal to us His great and mighty works of the past. We ask Him to demonstrate His work of deliverance again. And we confess any sin that may bring God's judgment upon us. And once God has reminded us of His great and mighty works of the past, faith takes the time to reflect and to ponder them. Now, when we remember the past, we worship God for the ways in which He displayed His glory to us. We recognize God's power in working out things for the good of our salvation. And we wait patiently, knowing that God is in control and that He will work out everything in His own way and in His own time. And we wait for God. We wait for Him to act, even though our present situation may cause us to fear or to doubt or to be in despair. And we wait. And may it still be with joy and giving thanks to God despite all the circumstances that you and I endure. As remember, Jesus Christ has won the victory. The battle is already won. He is the God of our salvation in whom we can rejoice. That is my prayer for each one of us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning, I want to thank You. Well, Habakkuk recognized and he realized that You were still in control. Even though he didn't see things happen the way he wanted to happen in the first few chapters, Lord, he realizes that everything is in Your time. Father, we pray that You too would give us that assurance to have the joy in our heart and to be content that all the things that you do, the things that we wait for, the things that we don't like, that they're all for a purpose and a plan. My Lord, we still want to thank you that you're in control. Father, thank you for continuing to pour out your love upon us and to show us that you care. Lord, we pray that as we start in the new year, Lord, that as you go before us, that we would follow. Lord, that your direction would be clear. And Lord, that we would follow with obedience. Knowing that all this is from you. So help us, Lord, to continue to dwell on you, to meditate in your word, and to gain a deeper understanding as we grow in wisdom and in knowledge of you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through test of time. He the pearly gates will open, so sinners cry. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Love divine, so great and wise, since he then forgave, I will sing his praise forever, for his blood, his power to save. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in, for he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. In life's eventide and twilight, at his door I'll knock and wait. By the precious love of Jesus, I shall enter heaven's gate. The pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin.
Well, thank you for coming this morning, and may the power of God's word have been encouragement to your life. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Thanks again. You can go in the peace of the Lord.